This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Uma and Ezra on the all-new evening edition, 6:14 p.m. And, well, we spoke about this earlier. We're going to be talking about the confessions of a dictator. Here's what we're referring to.
Really?
Not Darth Vader per se, but there is a blog post that was written by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the former prime minister, and it's titled Confessions of a Dictator, and it is a fascinating piece to me, at least. And the reason is...
I agree.
If you're familiar with Dr. Mahathir, his legacy, his achievements, and also the baggage that came with it, and you know, in his 22 years of being prime minister, he's been leveled all sorts of accusations, and clearly one of them was him being an autocrat, a dictator, or you can use whatever labels you want. So he wrote an interesting piece that was filled with sarcasm, and it actually mirrors his style of speech. If you see his speeches, if you see his interviews, and it's dry wit, isn't it?
Oh, it's very. I mean, if you've ever heard, if you've ever met the man, if you've ever been in the same room with him, there is a sense of it's the tone of voice he uses, and that you're unable to tell,
right,
whether he is being serious or sarcastic or satirical
or a joke
or a joke.
Yeah, and that signal is so flat.
And he plays it straight faced the whole
time.
Right?
He'd be a great stand up comedian if he decided to go down that route.
Well, we'll find out after GE14, lah. But
Uma, you've read this piece. I mean, just give folks a highlights for folks who haven't had a chance to read this. What is he talking about?
I mean, where do I even begin? So, I mean, he starts off by saying, you know, people in the media often call me a dictator, so I suppose I must be. And, you know, and he kind of highlights some of the actual things that he did when he took office. But he brings up all the points that people often criticize him about, the judicial crisis. He talks about his children and family and the role they may or may not have in business. And, of course, he does it in this very... Some bits are incredibly blatant in the point he's trying to make, and he hammers it home.
Yeah.
For example, he says, "My wife was called the first lady of the house."
Right. And the way he sort of words this is that he juxtaposes it with some of the more current issues that are plaguing our country right now. So, you know, just to make sense of this, we're crossing over to Bridget Welsh. She's the professor of political science at John Cabot University. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us. Now, in this op-ed, Dr. Mahathir is responding to what he posits as an image of him as a dictator. How much would that perception of him affect his chances in the coming election?
Mahathir is a divisive figure in Malaysia, as you know, and I think many people will not change their views of him, with the exception of the young people. This is the community that is the focus. And we've seen in the last few months, in particular, the Najib government give an attack on Mahathir, and I think this op-ed and this blog post were a response to that, and an attempt to use humor as a way of engagement and a bit of sarcasm, which is typically his style. Whether or not it actually changes opinion, I think, is still too early to say.
So, Bridget, why do you think he's chosen to do that, to write this op-ed in that sarcastic tone? I mean, is this the right approach to, say, appeal to younger voters?
Well, in a sense, it's an opportunity for Mahathir to introduce his style to them. Many of them aren't familiar with him. They know images of him, of what they've been told in school and by their parents, and they don't actually experience him. So I think this is a way of him engaging. I think he's going to have to address other concerns besides the attacks on him and the issues of his previous tenure. And these issues involve the economy and the concerns of young people directly. I think this is of critical importance for younger people because they're concerned about their jobs, their future. And Mahathir, being an older candidate, actually has a problem in terms of being able to make that gap with younger people.
And Bridget, do you think Dr. Mahathir has adequately addressed all the criticisms lobbied at him?
I think that he's begun to engage the issues that people have concerns with. And even though I think substantively, many people feel that those issues need to be addressed in a more serious matter than through just sarcasm and humor. But putting those discussions and those issues out there is a very important first step. And I think in a more broader context, the future of Malaysia in terms of the type of government that it's going to have is very much being decided at this election. It is a choice between a more open system with or a more dictatorial system. And we've seen in the last few years considerable closure in political space and discussions and that changes to laws and institutions. And I think this issue of the quality and that centralization of leadership will be decided both with people choosing Mahathir and Najib in terms of their choices for the future. And I think these issues are very central to the, whether or not the system is going to stay open. I think Mahathir's choice to use humor is an attempt to address some of those attacks, but I think it needs to go further to look at how those institutions could be reformed and address some of the concerns for those who would like the system to be more inclusive and more representative of different larger sections of the population.
Bridget, do you think Malaysians are tired with the mudslinging happening right now between parties?
I think they were tired a long time ago. Most Malaysians would like the government of the day to focus on their problems and the challenges of the country in terms of moving the economy forward, addressing the issues of services, addressing the problems of debt and financing, addressing and rectifying some of the problems of corruption that are very endemic in the system. These real ordinary problems that are actually systemic and being ignored, and this kind of attacks that are being lobbied on both sides are the concerns of voters. And I think both sides of the political divide have to address this, engage voters in a more meaningful manner to really genuinely get their support.
It's a long laundry list, Bridget. Yeah. Thank you very much for that analysis. That was Bridget Welsh, Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University, with her thoughts on Tun Dr. Mahathir's op-ed on news portal The Malaysian Insight.
That's right. So, Bridget said this, he was a very divisive figure. He still is a very divisive figure.
Yeah.
Love him or you hate him. I have to say, the one thing I've always admired about the man is his ability to string a sentence together. And this is a very fun read. So whether you read it on Malaysian Insight or whether you read it on his blog, I think it's...
You know, as a writer, he's, you know, as somebody who can, he's got an interesting way to storytell.
He does.
It's so old school, but a little bit contemporary as well.
Both in Malay and in English as well, which is why he's such a masterful politician.
All right, folks, we've got more stories coming up on the all-new Evening Edition, but here's some music by the Black Keys, Lonely Boy on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.